Wellness Wednesday is a presentation of Sunrise Broadcasting, LLC. Reproduction, rebroadcast, or any use of Wellness Wednesday without the prior express written consent of Sunrise Broadcasting, LLC is strictly prohibited. Program content, information, and opinions expressed are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of WAVL and Sunrise Broadcasting, LLC. All information presented here is not meant to substitute or replace information from healthcare professionals. Please consult your healthcare provider before using any products or services mentioned on this program. And now, here's the host of WAVE's Wellness Wednesday, Cindy O.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are here today. We have our good friend, Amy Lee, from Soul Healing Bodywork and Wellness Center with us again. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, and happy Wednesday.
So today, because Amy is a repeat offender here, we don't need to ask her all of her wellness questions because I think everybody's pretty standard on where she stands. If not, I think people are very aware of where you stand, so we don't need to go over that one again, but you are on file in our Wellness Wednesday vault, so please go back in time and revisit Amy so you can hear all of her views on wellness. Today, we are going to talk some vocabulary, and we're going to define some common uterine ailments.
Yes.
How's that for a sentence, right?
Yes.
But our ladies are talking, and I'm finding some ladies out in the world that have listened to the show and love Amy's contributions and want a little more details.
Yes, more
specifics. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start digging into some stuff here. And today, like I said, we're going to have some fun with vocab. So I want to say the first word. I don't even know what this means, you guys, but I'm going to learn right now with you for the first time ever. I hope I say it right. Adenomyosis.
Perfect.
Yay.
You said it perfect.
Adenomyosis. What is it? Tell us about it.
So adenomyosis is when the endometrial tissue grows into the muscle of the uterus instead of staying inside the lining and lining the uterus.
That does not sound like a good time.
No, it is not. It's very painful. And so they really don't know, well, the basis of kind of all of female problems, they really don't know, other than maybe hormonal or genetics, what the causes of these things are. Adenomyosis is when everything is growing into the layers of the uterus, which is, there's like three layers of muscle. And obviously, there's no lining in the uterus. You can't get pregnant that way. And where those sites are, the uterus becomes thickened and enlarged and more fibrous and less pliable. I mean, the uterus is obviously very stretchable.
Yeah.
And it becomes less stretchable as it goes on.
How common is this? Like, I've never even heard this word, which is probably a great thing, right? If I don't know the word, it means I'm not having it.
Yeah.
So how common is this?
So adenomyosis, the research that I find and the sites that I took it from were the National Institute of Health, Mayo Clinic, and Johns Hopkins. That's where I kind of look for the majority of this stuff. They break it up into age sections because a lot of times this particular condition, it happens during your childbearing years, or sometimes it happens later on in life, but they don't really know why.
Okay. So Luckily we have this podcast version, because we're going to get into these all a little bit deeper at the end. We have a couple of them we're going to talk about. So that one intrigues me because, again, I know nothing about it. So
right.
I want to make sure that we really detail these out. So you guys hang out and stay with us throughout the whole thing, or come back to the podcast, because this is going to be a good one. So that's adenomyosis. I'm getting so good at it, I've got some problem. All right, so the next meiosis here, is endometriosis. Now, This one I have heard of. This one seems common to me. I feel like a lot of ladies have this one.
Yes.
So hit this one really quick before break.
I would like to dive into this one a little bit deeper when we do the longer version, but I will say really quickly that endometriosis affects 11% or 6.5 million women in the U.S. It takes on average 4 to 7 doctors to get diagnosed with this condition. And it also takes, depending on who you ask, it takes anywhere from 4 to 12 years on average to get diagnosed. So just say an average of 10 years and, you know, 6-7 doctors to get diagnosed with an issue that 6.5 million women have just in our country alone.
And this is also not pleasant. Like, if you have this, something's going on and you feel it, you don't necessarily know that it's endometriosis, but there's problems.
Right.
It's not just like, oh, I have an ache. I should get that checked. This is debilitating to some people, right?
Very much.
All right. Yeah. And we're going to get into more on that in just a few. Maybe we'll even come back out of the break and talk about that just a little bit more. And then after break, we're doing fibroids versus cysts.
Yes.
It's going to get crazy around here. So you guys hang out. We're going to go to break really quick, hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back with Amy for some more vocabulary fun from Soul Healing Bodywork and Wellness Center. Stay tuned, guys. All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. Today is a good one. We have Amy Lee from Soul Healing Bodywork and Wellness Center, and we're defining common uterine ailments. So we just touched on adenomyosis. We were just currently talking endometriosis. So just before break, we talked about endometriosis. This is, you said 11% of women in the world?
In the United States.
In the United States. Okay,
yes.
So that's even greater then,
right,
because that's consolidated. And it takes years.
Years.
It's so sad. Years to get diagnosed with this.
Right.
Like, why?
So the reason why it takes so long is there's a couple different reasons. One is the symptoms mask a lot of other abdominal ailments and stomach things, you know, celiacs, IBS, very often. Because when you have endometriosis, this is when the endometrial tissue grows outside of the uterus. Again, it's supposed to be the lining of the uterus. But when it goes outside of that, it still continues to inflame and bleed because it's supposed to be inside the uterus. So wherever it lands in the body, it's still doing those things. So it causes a lot of inflammation and pain. A lot of examples, or some examples, are the ovaries, just all the pelvic organs in general, the intestines, and it can actually be found outside of the abdomen. It has been found in the lungs.
Mm.
Yes. So it can be super invasive. So essentially what this is doing is it causes a fibrous tissue to form and kind of spider web out inside your body. And what that does is it glues pretty much everything together. And there's our, you know, stage 1, 2, 3, and 4. Obviously 4 is the worst. 1 is, you know, the least serious. But all stages can cause infertility. All stages can cause major menstruation issues, lots of pain, clots, bleeding periodically throughout the month, pain throughout the month, and I mean literally like hospitalization debilitating.
Yeah.
Yes, it can get quite severe. And I will say, I just wanted to clarify this because I'm part of several moms groups on local as well as national and international on social media. And I recently, there's been a lot of people talking about endometriosis, and there's a woman claiming that all you have to do is change your diet and your nutrition and
wouldn't that be glorious?
And I do say that, I mean, if you're feeding yourself really good nutritious foods and if you're balancing your hormones, that will clear up a lot of pretty much many different health conditions.
Yes, diet is huge for all kinds of things.
Right. But with endo, I mean, oftentimes you need surgery to literally go in and clear out all of those adhesions and all of that scar tissue so that your organs can function properly, get proper blood flow, and, you know, all of those things. And the other piece to why it takes so long to get diagnosed is because women are not believed when they go to the doctor. It is expected that your period is supposed to hurt and that there's going to be bloating. They'll tell you it's normal and it's not. Common and normal are not the same thing.
Right.
So you definitely have to advocate for yourself. You know, some other symptoms of that is, besides all of the period stuff, is you can have painful bowel movements, you can get constipation, you can get diarrhea. So again,
we have that scar tissue is in there IBS holding on to things. Nothing is moving or doing like what it's supposed to. None of it's working properly.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to hit some more of that
on
the other side because that is a common, and I think we need some more details on that. So hang out, come back for the podcast version because endometriosis will be high on the list. The last two we have, fibroids versus cysts. What is the difference between a fibroid and a cyst?
So really quick, a fibroid is a growth made up of smooth muscle and fibrous connective tissue that also is glandular. It also responds to hormones.
Okay.
Right? And it's like a solid growth. A cyst also responds to hormones. It's glandular, but it is a sac that is filled with something. It could be solid. It could be liquid. It could be mucusy. It could, whatever. It's a fluid-filled sac.
Okay. So they both sound nasty.
And yeah, they can be.
And both of them, there's different areas that they grow and different reasons that they grow, I would guess, right?
Right. And again, all of these, you know, it's irregular periods, pain, bloating, discomfort, pain with sex, pain with bowel movements. I mean, a lot of it is very broad. So the first thing that they do is they look at like stomach issues instead of uterine issues.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. And maybe we can do something about that with our Wellness Wednesday crew. So that takes us out of time for today. So Amy, wrap us up. Tell us who you are, where you are, how they can get a hold of you. And then we're going to keep going and detail these out a little bit more so people have some more knowledge in case they're suffering from this or maybe just want to know some more about it to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Amy Lee with Soul Healing Body Work and Wellness Center. And you can find me on Facebook, the same name. My email is amy@reproductivesolutionswi.com.
Fantastic.
And also, I turned 44 in April. And so I am giving people $44 off for April and May, $44 off of the initial assessment when you want to come in for the sacred womb therapy.
That is way better than getting a cupcake on your birthday.
That's what I'm saying.
Thanks, Amy. That's awesome. So you guys take advantage of this because, again, you know, Amy has become a valuable resource to us here and she will to you as well. So take advantage of the special and get in there and see her. And we will keep rolling here and talk a little bit more about these. And the next time, next month, when we hear from Amy, we're going to talk a little bit more about pregnancy, kind of the whole deal from start to finish and all the good stuff in between. So good, bad, and the ugly on pregnancy.
Yes.
So tune in next time, and we will let you know when that is. But we will talk to Amy again in June, and again, that topic will be pregnancy. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining us today. And you guys come back for the podcast, and we will have some more definitions of these common uterine ailments. Thanks for joining us today, and we will see you next week. Welcome back, everybody. We are on the podcast version of our discussion here today with Amy Lee from Soul Healing Bodywork and Wellness Center, and our topic is defining common uterine ailments. So during the show, we talked about adenomyosis, endometriosis, fibroids, and cysts. So we're just going to go right back to the top and talk a little bit more about the adenomyosis, because I feel like that one is less common. Again, I never heard of it. Doesn't mean anything, just that I didn't. But I assume there's probably more people that don't know about this.
Right.
So tell us a little bit more details about the adenomyosis.
Yeah, so like I said, the adenomyosis is when the endometrial tissue grows into the muscle wall of the uterus and can actually grow through it, like to the outside, instead of staying on the inside of the uterus. And that causes the uterus to thicken and enlarge, causes tremendous pain. The prevalence of it changes depending on the age. And that's also kind of the same with fibroids because it goes along with estrogen levels. The way they treat adenomyosis is either hormone therapy, menopause, or a hysterectomy, which obviously puts you into menopause if you're not of that age yet. The symptoms of this: chronic pelvic pain, prolonged heavy bleeding, painful intercourse, severe cramping. It's not as common as endometriosis, but I mean, it causes, like I said, tremendous pain, infertility, sexual dysfunction.
Who's affected by this? Everyone, like from the first time you ever menstruate to the last time? Or is it an age? Is there an age range?
Well, yeah, I mean, like 16 to 50.
Okay,
so
pretty much anybody.
Yeah, pretty much everybody who's of menstruating age. But our hormones are shifting even before we actually get our first period, clearly, because our hips are widening, hair is developing, breasts are developing, all those things. So you can have symptoms of it before you get a period, but most people, like, they would never guess that, you know, they're 12 or 13-year-old or 14-year-old is dealing with something like this.
Sure. And are there treatments for this besides removal? I mean, what can you do if you have this?
It depends on if you're going to go to like the doctor in Western medicine, or if you're going to do Eastern medicine or more holistic natural things, because I mean, this is a pretty serious condition, meaning that like a person's quality of life, it's literally debilitating. So in those cases, I mean, there are probably holistic ways to get rid of those types of things, but how long can you wait?
Sure.
You know, I mean, honestly, a surgery is a lot quicker.
And this is, you know, so I believe, if I recall, when you were first talking about this, you said it moves. So it could be found in the lungs?
No, or, that's endometriosis.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah,
so, which we can, yeah. We but can the adenomyosis has to be removed?
The adenomyosis, so you can't really remove it without, it's in the muscle wall. So okay. You have to take out the whole uterus.
So the uterus would have to, okay.
Right.
But that would be one of the solutions, would be a complete hysterectomy.
Right. Okay. Yep. Or like I said, hormone therapy, sometimes birth control, you know, can be helpful. But that's just like, you know, you're putting a Band-Aid on the symptoms. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And if it is hormone related, which it is, because the most prominent times that you get this is when you have your highest estrogen, you then have to remove the ovaries as well if you can't get them balanced.
Right, because otherwise, I mean, obviously, just pumping the juices in.
We always want to hold on to our organs, at, you know, at any cost if we can.
Except your appendix, that we don't need.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if it's causing you that amount of pain, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And if you have to remove it, you have to remove it.
And sometimes things are just broken. Like, right. This happens. It could be something on your ear that bothers you. You'd have to have it removed. Now, this is just internal and very,
very painful.
Very obvious and painful and yeah. Problematic. So, okay. Yeah. I feel that with all of these, this one especially, we need more knowledge on it, right? Like, right. We need more studies. And how many people are affected? How many women are affected by this?
I mean, when I went through the research, it was hard to nail down an average because they had them broken up into certain age groups, but then they were kind of weird within the age group. But between the 25 and 45 degree range, it was estimated at like 0.5% of women in the United States, which obviously isn't as much as, you know, endometriosis, but to those women, it's a big effing deal.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, that's where I was going. Like, is it very prominent or not? So good news is it's not, but bad news is the ones that are affected are very affected.
Right. Well, and the other thing is how many women had it or have it and just haven't been diagnosed yet.
Sure. Or maybe even had the hysterectomy for some other thing that you do know what it is, and then maybe that was all part of it.
Right.
Do any of these conditions conglomerate? Like, are they collaborating, and can you get all of these things at once?
You can have more than one at a time.
Oh,
sure.
I shouldn't even ask that, because that made me feel yucky just thinking it out loud.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave the adenomyosis alone now for a little bit, because I kind of got to breathe. I got to get out of this one a little. It's a good knowledge to have. And obviously there needs to be more studies on all of the
Absolutely.
Women's health, but that would be a big one. So endometriosis, that one is one a lot of people know, a lot of people have. This is the 11% of the United States. So very many women in the United States are affected by this. And this one, I also think I might know that there's levels, right? Where you can have light, which still is bad.
Bad stages.
And then it gets worse, it progresses. What does endometriosis do?
So endometriosis is when the endometrial lining goes outside of the uterus. How does it get outside the uterus? Great question. I mean, obviously, if you have a C-section or any type of surgery where your uterus is cut into, then uterine cells can go outside of, you know, the uterus that way. They also think that possible, they call it retrograde menstruation, where the menstrual fluid actually, like, basically backwashes out of the fallopian tube.
Oh.
Instead of going down out the vagina.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
I don't know if I like this conversation today, Amy. I'm starting to have all kinds of sympathy pains for
people. Well, we have to know about it.
We do. You know? We absolutely do. That's why we keep you coming back, because this is, like, I've never, ever heard that. I didn't even know that could be, but why not? It's a tube, right?
So yeah, I mean, it's open. It's not, the fallopian tube and the ovaries are not connected.
Right. They kind of fall out, right?
And then the phalanges of the fallopian tube, like, wave them into the tube. So it's open. They can, you know, go the other way.
Sure.
That's how you find out that somebody is pregnant and then you look, they do an ultrasound and they're like, the baby's outside of the uterus, like attached to your liver.
Because it literally goes up and out the tube?
Yes.
Oh, man. That is so
obviously,
crazy.
Obviously, that's very, very, very rare. Yeah. Has happened. C-section, baby lived, mom lived. I mean, I'm telling you.
Amazing.
Some wild things
happen. Our bodies are just so freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Just the stuff they can put up with. So how can we deal with endometriosis? What happens there?
So with endometriosis, again, in order to actually diagnose and stage endometriosis, you do have to have surgery. And they go in laparoscopically and kind of clean everything up. And that is how they stage it. And a lot of doctors will clean out whatever they can in that. And then if it's a lot and they have to open you up, they usually have to schedule a different kind of surgery. So that is the way to actually diagnose and stage it. This is seriously their treatment. Birth control, pregnancy, hysterectomy.
Oh, wonderful.
Hormone therapy, well, you know, birth control. A lot of women who have endometriosis do struggle with infertility. A lot of women don't even know that they have endometriosis until they have to go have a, you know, C-section and their doctor finds it. So why some women are more affected in the fertility aspect, they don't know.
Maybe it's just where it physically is.
Where it is and how much, for sure. Definitely. But also with this, it is, again, the hormones. So you can't... If you remove the uterus and you have a diagnosis of endometriosis, you still have endometriosis. You have to take out the ovaries. Because if you have endo and they take out your uterus, big deal. It just grows everywhere else.
It just moves.
It just goes everywhere else. Because that's the whole definition of it, outside of the uterus. Do you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't even know what to say to you right now.
I know. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is when I see women in my office and they're like, I feel like I have this. I know I have this, but my doctor won't do this or my doctor won't do that. And I'm like, it shouldn't be this hard. And I've asked my doctor if endo masks or not masks, but
looks like,
yes. I was looking for a different word, but replicates or whatever, all of the other issues. Then why don't you start there? And then it might only take you a couple months to get diagnosed instead of, you know, 10 effing years.
Yeah, waiting, going through all these things that you're pretty sure it's not when you could just start at that level. Yeah. Nice. All right. Let's go to the next one.
Yes.
So then we did a fibroids versus cysts. What's the difference? So I'll remind us the difference between a fibroid and a cyst. And then let's tear into some of these too.
So fibroids and cysts are both glandular in that they can react to hormones. And those, again, will fluctuate. Fibroids are essentially just a mass, a fibrous mass, that's made up of smooth muscle and connective tissue. And cysts are a sac that is filled with something. So a fibroid, you take it out. It may grow back depending on what the condition is. A cyst will come back unless you get the sac. If you get the sac out, then there's no sac to refill. So the cyst doesn't grow back. That doesn't mean another cyst won't. But you have to get the sac out if you're going to actually remove the cyst.
And I know we're talking with female and uterine issues, so we will stay there, but fibroids and cysts could be pretty much anywhere on anybody, right?
Oh, yeah,
so that's not
sure.
necessarily 100% uterine related.
For sure.
But when they are there,
yes,
that's where the problems come in.
Yes.
So which one, is there a worse? They're not worse or better, right? Because
they're
still where they are?
I mean, the fibroids, they're, how do I say it? I mean, they're invasive, they grow huge, they get gigantic, they cause a lot of pain. Cysts do as well, but fibroids, they're harder to get out sometimes, depending on where they're at. Because even if you can't get a cyst out, you can at least drain it.
Oh, sure.
You know? Whereas with a fibroid, you can't. And again, they don't know why. They don't really know why. They just know that these things are reactive to hormones, but why do they form? And why in some people and other people they don't know why. One of the things that I saw in my research was that they think fibroids could be misplaced cells that are present at birth. So like your cells didn't form properly and there's just a weird fibroid cell hanging out here somewhere.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean,
well, when you think of all of the things that from the second we are even the egg or the sperm or whatever, yeah, all of the things that need to happen to make us into a human, it's miraculous. I mean, it's a miraculous thing that we even exist at all because of all of the stuff that has to happen. So really, it shouldn't really surprise us that these things happen because not everyone is perfect. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect physically as a, you know, specimen of the human race, but people are susceptible different ways. Could a fibroid be like part of your uterus where you could not remove it? Like where it's like, you know what I mean? Like embedded into it?
Well,
like,
I mean, sometimes they absolutely have to take the whole uterus just because of like blood supply or chance of hemorrhaging, things like that. My sister-in-law, she ended up having to have a C-section to remove her fibroids. She looked like she was 5 months pregnant.
Oh,
she was huge. And I think part of it was that she didn't really realize what was going on. And I mean, you just get tons of bloating.
But I mean, when you see gaining weight or something, like you wouldn't assume that that's what was happening.
But I mean, if you should not be able to have a cyst or a fibroid grow inside your body to the size of a grapefruit or a football. I mean, there is, you have, somebody has seriously missed some major signs.
Yeah.
That's so large. With what I do, and I'm like working so deeply into the pelvic area, I mean, I can't feel and be like, oh, there's a weird growth here. It must be a fibroid. I can't tell you that, but I can definitely tell you there is something here that feels different that I don't think should be here. You should go get it checked out. You know, and I have found that. And women have gone in and they've had hematomas and they have found cysts and they have found fibroids. I can just tell you this doesn't feel normal. Go talk to your OB and get a scan or something.
Sure.
You know.
And how does that, well, I assume it's kind of the same for the cysts, but what, give us a life cycle of a cyst. How does that?
Cysts are, like I said, they're pretty reactive to the estrogen. Cysts can come and go without you ever even knowing that they're there. A cyst bursting inside of you can be tremendously painful, like bring you to your knees, make you vomit kind of pain.
Maybe make you pass out at work and have to be hauled off.
Yeah. Like you?
Maybe. That might have been a thing that happened.
Yeah. I mean, they can be terribly painful. They can grow really large. I know that when I had my fallopian tubes removed because I had to have the Escher coil removed, I asked them if I could see my fallopian tubes. They thought I was a weirdo, but I'm like, they're mine. I want to see them. There on each fallopian tube, there were like 3 or 4 cysts just hanging off like Christmas lights, like about the size of a pea. That's what they looked like, just dangling down.
Wow.
And I didn't know. I mean, I never had any complications, but they were small, you know. I mean,
but a pea size in that amount of real estate, that's still pretty big.
It is. But, I mean, they can form and they can dissipate really quickly or they can just stay and they can just grow and grow. It also depends on what is inside of them. I mean, sometimes it's just fluid. Sometimes it's something, you know, thicker that has to be, like, removed. You know,
and we go back to the hormones. It's just when our hormone levels are highest.
They say that when the estrogen is the highest is when a lot of these things can occur. There is a doctor, her name is Marie Claire, and there is also another doctor, Barbara O'Neill. Barbara O'Neill has had, honestly, she's had her doctors, her medical license stripped because she no longer practices Western medicine. She does everything natural. So for sake of education, if you look up Barbara O'Neill, she will talk a lot about castor oil packs and getting rid of fibroids and different growths and things like that. That is something you have to be, from what I've seen and the research that I've seen, and I've actually tried a couple of things myself, those things work, but you do have to know what you're doing and you have to be committed to the process. You know, so always, you know, check with your doctor, check with a holistic medicine, functional medicine, your OB, just get information from everywhere, and you got to help yourself. I mean, you have to go look for it. It's not going to just show up for you because a lot of places, you know, they have the knowledge, but they don't have the time to go look for all this stuff. Like, you really have to go seek it out yourself.
And women's health, like you've mentioned several times, is just not studied.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy, especially with all, I mean, every day. How many babies are born every day in the United States alone? Mm-hmm. You know, just crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And yet we don't ever talk about how they got there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't talk about the incubator, if you will, how our bodies work to be able to do that.
It's just, and I mean, it's the huge lack of research that has been done, you know, on our specific issues. It's starting to be more, but I mean, it's still comparable to what, you know, to what they're doing for men. It's still off the charts. I mean, much more money has been going into studying and fixing ED than has ever gone into several
of these issues
combined.
Yeah. That's a whole different issue.
That's a whole other podcast.
I'm biting my lip because I want to talk about that, but not today. But again, this is all about getting awareness. So if anybody out there is listening in and you're in this field, you're researching it, or, you know, you have some knowledge, you know, some expertise in these areas, it'd be great to hear from you, because it'd be nice to know there's somebody near us that would be another practitioner that maybe would be able to help with some of these issues. So very good. Is there anything else besides, I kind of want to be done with this because this is hurting me and I don't even it's great. Like, it's just very good that we did this and had this talk, and we will dig more into some of these other issues too. But anybody that is paying attention right now and has, I'll call them phantom pains because that's what people say, you know, or things they can't explain, or they've checked everything else. Maybe the sacred womb treatment is something that could help.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no matter what, it's not going to hurt this condition.
Oh, for sure.
You will have more knowledge. You might be able to find something, talk them through something. And maybe it's not this scary.
Right. I think the biggest takeaway from this section, and, you know, as we talk about other ailments, another vocab, if you will, is that the pain you're experiencing is real. It is not in your head. And it is not normal. And you have got to keep talking. Find a different doctor if they don't listen. Seek out a different type of practitioner if they don't listen. But what you're feeling is real, and it's not all in your head.
That's a great place to leave us, because that is true. You know, we've all get told whatever it is. You can stub your toe and go and say your foot hurts, and they're like, it's fine. Go home, take some aspirin, sit. The female issues, uterine ailments, these are commonly tossed aside just because of lack of knowledge and study. So don't be quiet about it. Keep talking to anybody you can find. If you haven't gotten anywhere, call up Amy, get down to Soul Healing, Body Work, and Wellness. She has a vast network of people, too, that she can refer you to if necessary. So make sure you get in touch, even if you just join the Sacred Womb Circle, right? Just as a support group, we have that available. Tell everybody, take us out with where you are, who you are, and how to get onto the Sacred Womb Circle.
Yeah. So Amy Lee with Soul Healing, Body Work, and Wellness Center. On Facebook, it's the same name, and I also have Sacred Womb Circle on Facebook. You can join that, and something is posted weekly, informational or funny story or something about a, you know, something informational and educational is posted every week. And yeah, I mean, I would love to grow that community and get women talking about their pelvic health.
And what women can join that?
Any woman that wants to.
Okay, so is there an age limit?
No. I mean, if you're having pelvis issues or you just want to learn about it, you can definitely join it. And then anybody who's actually ever worked with me is in there as well as just people who want to support this work that I'm doing who aren't even around here, but they, so.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. Maybe you're at the end of your rope and you've been going down this road for years and you're trying to get some help, or maybe you've just started realizing you're having these problems. Either way, both ends of the spectrum, get into that Sacred Womb Circle. It's a support group. It's a starting point, and it gets you a direct line to Amy Lee.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Amy, for coming in again today. Defining common uterine ailments. This was a good one. It was painful to talk about, even though thankfully I don't have any of the
problems. And we only talked about four.
I know. We've got so much work to do. And it's great. This is what Wellness Wednesday is all about, is getting the knowledge out there and getting people some help. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in again. Check out Amy Lee, Soul Healing, Body Work, and Wellness Center. Get into that Sacred Womb Circle. You will not regret it. Next time we talk, we're going to talk pregnancy from beginning to end.
Yep.
And all the good stuff in between. And we're going to check in with some of Amy's people, not by name or anything, but we talked about before that she's been helping to get these people pregnant and see where they're at and how things are going. So thanks for joining us on this edition of Wellness Wednesday, and we will talk to you next time.